Chapter 22.
The dark veil of a storm cloud was pushing in from the sea, assailing the base of the cliff with an endless succession of rolling white caps. Between waves, hundreds of oval forms appeared from the water, many of them large enough to be starships, but probably just boulders. Farther out stood the white spire of a distant island encircled by sea cliffs as high as the one upon which Luke was standing. When Luke found no sign of the jade shadow, he turned to his Padirian guide. "I hope you're not trying to be clever, Sinar. If the shadow went down at sea..."
"Not at all!"
Sinar pointed at the ankle-deep carpet of ground vines in which they were standing.
"Your ship is here, beneath us."
Luke dropped his gaze, immersing himself in the white current in case he was seeing another Falanasi illusion, and found only the same four-pointed ground vine leaves that he had seen earlier. "Beneath us?"
"In a cave."
Sinar stepped to the cliff's brink, then leaned out and pointed back under them.
"Down there!"
Using the force to anchor himself in place, Luke stretched over the edge and looked down the sheer face. 100 meters below, half hidden by a swarm of shrieking, sharp-winged seabirds, he glimpsed the dark shadow of a cavern's mouth. "I see." Luke turned back to Sinar, then asked, "How do we get down there?" The Padirian narrowed his small mouth in what was probably an expression of surprise.
"You're a Jedi, aren't you?"
"I am," Luke agreed. "But Jedi don't fly."
"No?"
Sinar looked more surprised than ever.
"Then I have no idea. Perhaps we should go back and rent an airspeeder."
Luke shook his head. "No time for that. I'll just do it the hard way." He withdrew a palm-sized cable launcher from his equipment belt and sent a stream of liquid wire shooting toward the rocks below. As soon as the line was long enough to reach the cave, he cut the flow and depressed the temper button, sending a small electrical charge down its length. The wire solidified instantly, becoming a metal cable strong enough to carry several hundred kilograms. To secure the top end, he took a thumb-sized ground bolt from a belt pouch, threaded the cable through an eye clamp, then affixed it to a blaster adapter, and fired the whole assembly into the ground. A soft thwong let him know that the anchoring splines had deployed. Luke fed the line through a trio of braking hooks on his belt, then back to the edge of the cliff and began to sit out over the empty air. Sinar's thin brows arched in concern.
"Master Skywalker, will you be needing me any longer?"
He let out a wet-sounding cough, the first Luke had heard from him, then added,
"I'm not feeling very well."
"You've done enough, Sinar. Thanks for your help."
"No, thank you, Master Skywalker."
Even as he spoke, Sinar was already retreating toward his landspeeder.
"If you have trouble recovering your wife's ship, call me for a ride. You have my comm codes."